Now, having determined that, let's go back. We know who was there when he created the earth. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. And on the way by, stop and visit just a moment at Exodus chapter 20. Genesis chapter 1, take a quick jot off the highway and pull off that exit at 20. Exodus 20. Exodus 20, of course, the giving of the law. I don't want to look at the whole law, but I want to take out one of the Ten Commandments and look at what it says, just to get the content of it, not to speak about the Ten Commandments. Look at verse 11, Exodus 20. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and he rested the seventh day. You hear what I said? For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. And I was correct in what I said, heavens. That Hebrew word is plural, heavens. There are three heavens, at least. I know that. Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. Paul said, I know a man 14 years ago who went to the third heaven. By logic, then, if there's a third heaven where this man went, I think it was Paul himself, there must be a second heaven and a first heaven. The third heaven is where God is. The second heaven is what you see at night with the stars up in the sky. And the first heaven is what we see out there today, the clouds and the sun when it peeks through. You see the first heaven by day, the second heaven by night, the third heaven by faith. You can use that. It's free. Anyway, so the three heavens at least. Where was thou when I created the heavens? God said it. I did it in 6 days. I made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Everything. Only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were in eternity past. But God created everything. The heavens, the earth, and all that in them is. There's nothing else. And he did it in 6 days. I believe 24-hour literal days. He created them. Now go with me over to Genesis chapter 1 just for a second. Let me see if, having determined that, by the way, there's a parallel passage in the New Testament, Colossians 1:16, which says, by him were all things created, all things. And in Colossians 1, it's talking about Jesus. I believe God the Father was the architect, Jesus Christ the Son was the contractor or the carpenter. All right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens. Again, this should be plural. He created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's the answer. If the morning stars, the sons of God, which are angels, were there at the creation of the earth, God created angels someplace between his act of creating the heavens in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and the earth, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Because they were there to sing joy, praise God, sing hallelujah for the beauty of the earth that he had just created. And there it is in Genesis 1, 1, God creates the angels. He creates them for the purpose of serving him. That's why he created them in the heavens. How many angels did he create? I don't know. I have sanctified speculation that gives me the opportunity to share with you what I think, and that this is only opinion, but I believe he created 12 billion angels, with a B, 12 billion angels. Where do I get that number? Well, those people that know, I'm not one of them, but those people that know tell us that there are as many people alive today as have been alive since creation up till today. There's 6 billion people alive today. That means there would be 6 billion from creation to today. 6 and 6 is 12 billion. I say he created 12 billion angels because Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says, angels are spirits ministering unto us who know him. I would submit to you he created one guardian angel for every single person in anticipation of them loving him. In anticipation. He had to create extra guardian angels for some others of us. I'm positive of that. But he created, I think, now look, if you want to argue with me about that number, I don't care about it that much. I mean, If you have a greater number to tell me, okay, tell me, and if I like yours better, I'll use it. Otherwise, I'll use mine. Let's see, for point of illustration, he created 12 billion angels. When did the angels fall? Well, let's see if we can find some answers. Go to chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. The angels didn't fall in the 6 days because everything he saw was good, very good, extremely lovely, as you start to develop the Hebrew word there. Abundantly excellent. By the way, that kind of destroys the old gap theory that the earth was brought forth and was without form and void. You know, we got a couple of TV evangelists. They got, one of them's got these big charts behind him. I'm not going to mention who he is. He's saying that there was a pre-Adamic society before Adam, the first man. Another one of these guys from Orlando, Florida, who throws his coat. I'm not going to mention his name either. You better be careful of what these he's talking about, a pre-Adamic race where men became demons. We need to have the fall of angels because the third that are going to fall are going to become demons. A demon is actually an evil angel living in a human body. But when did they fall? It wasn't the first 6 days of creation, because when God got finished at the sixth day of creation, it's all over. He's going to rest the next day. He said, man, everything I've created is abundantly excellent. It is very, very good. Chapter 3, verse 1 of Genesis. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. So we see in chapter 3, verse 1, now Satan is on the scene. Satan, Lucifer, originally. Lucifer, the most prestigious of all of God's creation at that time, he had placed Lucifer, it tells us in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, dealing with the fall of angels, the fall of Lucifer, number one. But over the throne of God, in the third heaven, God had taken Lucifer and put him over the throne of God. Lucifer was a cherub, the most beautiful of all the cherubs. And he looked down over God's creation. Five times it says in Isaiah chapter 14. I know it's referring in Isaiah 14 to a king, a human king, and in Ezekiel 28. But never was one of those kings in the Garden of Eden what it says in Ezekiel 28. It's also referring to Satan, Lucifer, when he fell. Lucifer, his name in the beginning, Satan, the deceiver, when he fell. Satan. Lucifer says, I will cause you to worship me. I will rise above God. I will be worshipped in the city of Jerusalem. See, God has chosen Jerusalem, Psalm 132, verses 13 and 14, as his habitation forever. Lucifer said, I'll go to Jerusalem. You'll worship me there. God said, no, you won't. You're out. And he cast him down from the third heaven. Where did he cast him to? Not the earth, because they're still in the heavenlies somewhere. Because chapter 12, you see, there's no prophecy of private interpretation. All of it must be coordinated together. Chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 7 and following, talks about the battle in the heavenlies, where God the Father says to Michael, the commander-in-chief of the good angels in the heavenlies, take your angels and go take Satan, the devil, that old dragon, and all of his evil angels, and cast them out of heaven down to the earth. Chapter 12, verse 13 and following of Revelation talks about Satan in the last 3.5 years of this 7-year tribulation period, where he intensifies his attack on the Jewish people. Anti-Semitism is growing. Why? In preparation for that to take place, the time of Jacob's trouble. Where were they cast to? Go over to Ephesians. I know I'm going all over the Bible. We're getting back to Daniel in a moment.